So it feels good to be here tonight under the Spirit of God and the sweet anointing of God here. So praise God. That's what saves your soul. Amen. So I want to share something with you here tonight along the same lines. But early this morning, I woke up and I knew I had a long day. I knew I had to do the funeral, but I knew that I wanted to be ready for tonight. And the Lord gave me this little illustration and word tonight that I think is extremely powerful. And I hope you grab hold of it. And we're going to do something here at the end of the service. So get your expectors out. Get your faith stirred up. Don't just go to sleep on me here. Got to get your expectors out. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. It says, now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, you'll see that when the number of disciples was multiplying. Why was the number of disciples multiplying? And I'll tell you why. Because Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost had come, and the Holy Spirit had fallen upon the people. And people had been going to dead church for years. Matter of fact, thousands of years. Okay, now I've said this to you a million times, and you've got to get this in your soul. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God only fell on the priests and the prophets and the kings. And it only fell on the priests and the prophets and the kings whenever God had a word for them. The prophet didn't have the Spirit of God like you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you today. When it just the Spirit of God would come upon the prophet, he would get a word of God, he would prophesy. He would go and he would tell the king. You can go back and you can read in the Old Testament over and over and over again. When the king, it'll say something like, when the king prepared his heart to serve the Lord, then God prospered his hands, you know. But it wasn't an indwelling of the Spirit of God like we have now. The priest, everybody, they did their jobs. Every day they just did routine things. They did just religious service, all right? And the world today is going to church, and they're doing religious service. They go to the doors of the church. They go into the church. They do the same things. They go through the same motions. They go through all the things because that's all they know. They're not bad people. They're not demon-possessed. You know, they're not the wayward souls that have missed God. They just don't know any different. It's the same old story of why did the woman cut the turkey in half when she cooked it for Thanksgiving? You know, if you've never heard this story, why did this woman, she cut her turkey in half every Thanksgiving? And so her daughter asked her one time, Mama, why do you cut the turkey in half for Thanksgiving? She said, well, I'm not really sure. My mother always did it this way. She always cut the turkey in half for Thanksgiving. So I don't know. We'd have to call Grandma to find out. So they called Grandma up and said, Grandma, why did you cut the turkey in half always for Thanksgiving? She said, well, my oven was too small. I couldn't get a whole turkey in there. So see, sometimes we're doing things and it only made sense to that time and that place. It's not what the Spirit of God's saying today. And I really believe with all of my heart, I've been telling you all this, I'm telling you in the next 6 to 7 months, we're going to see a shift. We're going to see, I know it, in church and in what God's wanting to do, we're going to see a shift. We're going to see people being saved and healed and delivered. It's my dream, my desire. But I know it's not just me. I know it's the Spirit of God on the inside of me that we have services where people just come in and they're just going to be sitting there and they're just going to be healed. They're just going to be saved. They're just going to be set free. I don't want, it doesn't have to be, you know, it's not the old style of televangelism anymore. It's something changed. It's something new. It's God's going to do it. You're going to see it. It's going to happen. We're going to stand around it with our mouths open saying, God did that. And it's going to be the days of wonder. Because they're going to be sitting around saying, wow, I wonder how God did that. Because we've always cut the turkey in half. And all of a sudden we're going to be cooking whole turkeys. And we're just going to understand, wow, this just works better. You know, turkey just comes out right, you know. Hello? Okay, so, okay, where am I? Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Now in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, it was multiplying because the power of the Spirit of God had fallen in Acts chapter 2, and the people were multiplying because they were seeing God doing something new. Prior to Acts chapter 2 and the Spirit of God falling, the Spirit of God did not indwell man. You're with me? But when the day of Pentecost had happened, Jesus through the resurrection, his blood then could cleanse man of their sins and make them right with God, not through works, but through faith and belief in Jesus. Through faith and belief in Jesus, then they could be righteous before God, Therefore, they could be temples of God. They could house the Spirit of God. God could live in them because he never could before, because there was always sin indwelling man. You said, well, Pastor, I make mistakes. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about mistakes you make when you're in Jesus. It's a different thing. We're talking about you being totally and completely unrighteous before God with no way to be righteous before God until you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life and believe he was the Son of God. And because he was resurrected from the dead, then the power in his blood could wash you and cleanse you of your sin. So therefore, you could be a righteous vessel. You could be a holy vessel. You could be kings and priests unto your God. And the Spirit of the living God would live and dwell on the inside of you. And you would become the temple of the living God. So this had never happened before. As Paul said, there was new creations, right? Old things have passed away and all things have become new. New creatures on the face of the earth. Spirit indwelt man. It was a new creature. Never had been like that before. All right? Y'all following me? So all of a sudden, a multitude of people are saying, I don't know, but I like this church better. Are y'all with me? They're looking at old ways, old sacrifices, old the priest slinging blood and burning sacrifices and saying, come back next week when you sin again and I'll burn your sacrifice up again. And they're saying, look, well, that's the old church. And I never was very happy. I never did feel right when I left church. The lamb got sacrificed, but I didn't feel right. The dove got its head pulled off and the blood drained out and all this went on. But I didn't feel right. And then they got this church over here. Everybody's jumping up and singing hallelujah, praise the Lord. You know, for a lack of better words. You know, they were Pentecostals over here. All right? And so they were over here in the Spirit of God, falling like fire on top of their heads. They're having people healed. They're seeing signs and wonders. They're rejoicing because their sins are forgiven. They're telling one another. Look, they had no Bibles. They had no New Testament. They didn't have PowerPoint and all these, you know, illustrated sermons and all this stuff. They didn't have anything. They just could simply was telling, listen, Jesus is resurrected. We saw him. He rose from the dead. He came alive. He's not dead. He's alive. He is the Son of God. The Bible promised. They could go to the Old Testament. They could read the Old Testament scriptures. They could roll over like Peter did into the book of Joel and say, hey, look, this is what the Joel said was going to happen. The Spirit of God was going to be poured out upon man. This is what was going to happen. They could go back and they could look at Ezekiel 36 and they could read it and say, look, God said he was going to put his Spirit in man. He was going to do this. Look, this is what the fulfilling of the scriptures is. Look at old so-and-so. We don't know how he's doing it, but he's over there speaking in tongues. We don't know what he's saying, but all we know is that this guy over here who never spoke in that language is hearing his language, and he says he's declaring the wonderful works of God. People were coming together. They were fellowshipping, and all of a sudden, generosity was breaking loose. People were giving and sowing and blessing. Oh, you need a shirt? Here, take mine. I had another one at the house. All this thing was taking place that people were sitting back saying, you know, I like this kind of church. Are y'all with me? And so the multitude was growing, right? Now look on down the rest of that verse there. And there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Immediately when there's a multitude, immediately when it's growing, immediately the devil comes in and tries to stop it. Immediately a problem comes. So many times in life we think that when we're following the Spirit of God and flowing in the things of the Spirit of God, that everything should be peachy. That rose petals should be thrown out in front of us as we walk and we hear the herald of the angels singing and you see the little cherubims flying around, you know, strumming on their harps and because we're doing what God said. But listen to me, whenever you start doing what God says, the enemy's going to look for a way, and the way that he always finds is the weakness within man. So it's never God's fault. It's always the weakness in man that causes the problem. Don't ever forget that. Because people always want to point and say, see, I told you, God, that's not real. Or look at that church over there, that's that. Or look at this over here, that's like that. Listen to me. Man is weak. We do stupid things. All right? We're carnal. We're made out of dirt. We're not perfect. But we are temples of God. We are spirits of the living God. Lives on the inside of us. We're our vessels that can house the Spirit of God. Y'all with me? Okay, this is good, and I haven't even got to the good part yet. Okay, and so it says, so the 12 summon the multitude of the disciples. Now, I don't know how much that is, but I just don't think they would write the word multitude in there because a multitude means a multitude. A multitude means one you can't count, right? You know, sometimes I have 23 sheep at my house. Sometimes I have problems counting 23. Y'all with me when they're milling around? But I think a multitude means there's so many you can't count them. So they called a multitude of the disciples, and they said, it's not desirable that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. In other words, he said, look, we're growing, the ministry's growing, the people are getting bigger, there's more out there than we can do. And the 12 original apostles, he said, there's more out there than we can handle and do, and so we've got to do something, we've got to come up with a plan. There had never been a plan before. You got to understand, Acts chapter 6 had never arisen. They couldn't go back and look at anything to look at. There was no manual, 12-step manual for operating a church, right? They couldn't go to some of these great ministers that have written these great, you know, books and, you know, 47 series and all these kind of things like this to learn how to manage a church. They didn't know. They'd never done it. Well, what's going to happen? And I'm just saying this prophetically. And like I said, if I'm wrong, well, then y'all can run me out of town. What's happening is there's going to be a new change in church. And I said this to y'all a year ago, and it's coming. And I always am a little ahead. I have to admit it. I always am a little ahead of God because I'm wanting to go. Okay, I'm wanting to hurry. Let's go. But there's going to be a new dynamic changed in church, and church is going to look different. And when church looks different, people are going to say, what's going on? But there never was a manual written for what's about to happen. You say, what's going to happen, Pastor? I don't know. If I knew, I'd tell you. All I know is what I feel right here. All I know is what I'm dreaming about. All I know is what's coming on inside of my heart, that what I'm feeling and stirring on the inside of me. And I can't really put words to it. And if I could, I would. I'd tell you. It's not like I'm holding anything back. I said, I really don't know. All I know is what I hear the Spirit of God saying. And in this time, what has to happen and what has to take place is, in this multitude of disciples, he says, it's not desirable that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. And so the people that have got hold of the helm of the ship, or the rudder of the ship, or the steering wheel, or whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, have got to stay holding onto the ship, saying, we've got to go this way. But what's taking place is there's a lot of things going on. And he said, look, I can't turn loose of the rudder to go do that. Somebody's got to go do it. If I turn loose of the rudder's going to go, then the ship's going to go all whichever way. So I got to hold the rudder. So we got to find somebody that can do this. Okay? So he says, 3, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, they called a multitude to get 7. Are y'all with me? A multitude to get 7. So I don't know if the multitude was relatively weak. And they can only find 7, and they needed a whole multitude, all right? Or they just said, oh, everybody, come on up, and then there was already 7. I don't know. All I know is out of a multitude, only 7 got picked, and the qualifications were they had to be full. Look at this, okay? What does it say? They had to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, right? A good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. 3 things. Now, again, I'm just saying this, however the Spirit of God deals it to you. I don't know. When I read this and I look at it, it says, get the ones that are full of the Holy Spirit. So I don't know how they knew who was full of the Holy Spirit and who wasn't. I mean, there's no, you know, like you got the, you know, there was no gauge on the side of them. Couldn't go up and say, no, it looks like he's about 3/4. You know, I see everything like what you know what I mean? So, you know, like you've got if you've got a fuel line or a water line on the side of a tank, you know, the rubber hose that goes up, that's clear hose, and you look at it, it's got the little bubble and it goes up. I don't have one of those. I don't know. I mean, it's not hanging underneath my shirt. But the point I want you to understand here is they said that they were full of the Holy Ghost, and I was praying about that. And I said, Lord, what were you saying? You know, I mean, because how could you judge that? How could you say, I don't know. She looks like she's about 7-8. She's not quite full, you know, or he's only running on half, you know. You could say, well, it was because they were squeaky, you know, the squeaky wheel needs oil. So, you know, or they were always the ones that was over there complaining or whatever, you know, or maybe they just lopped some out for good reputation. Who's really in here? Who do y'all like? Or, you know, whatever. Well, I don't know. That's not really the point. The point I want to say is that they were full of the Holy Spirit. And so when I was praying about this and I was asking the Lord, I said, you know, Lord, what do you mean by that? And what I felt was, it's not something you can look at. It's not a gauge on the side of them, but it's, does the person know the workings and movings of the Holy Spirit? Because what I've been preaching from the very beginning and what you see from the first of Acts chapter 1, when he said that now the agent that's on the face of the earth that's moving is the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know the Holy Spirit, then how would you know the agent that's flowing? Think of this. This is an example the Lord gave me. If my daughter, who lives in California, sends me a package, she said, Dad, I mailed you a package. It's coming, and I sent it through UPS. It's going to come. It's scheduled date. I go look at the tracking number on it, and it tells me it's going to be in Utopia on Thursday. Okay? When I go down tomorrow to look for the package that's coming from my daughter, I don't go downtown looking for my daughter. I don't want go say, Darcy sent me a package. She's going to show up here in a minute. No, I go looking for the UPS truck that is bringing me my package from my daughter. I look. I know what the UPS truck looks like. I'll tell you a funny one about UPS, and this is probably why God uses for me. I had a package being delivered, and it was going to be delivered down to the mail store. And I wasn't sure it was there. And as I came into Utopia from work, I looked and there was a UPS truck in the Pico. And so I was like, oh, I'll just stop in here and check with him first before I go over there. Because what if he has it in here and he hadn't delivered over there and whatever. And so I walk into the store, but he's busy with somebody in there. And so I go outside and a text comes up on my phone and I'm down looking at my phone. I'm standing by my truck. I'm looking by my phone. And as I'm, you know, texting this person back, I heard the truck fire up and I looked up and he jumped in the truck and drove off. And so I was like, well, that's just peachy. You know, now I got to go chase him down the street. And about that time, text comes up that the package was at the mail store. And so I said, it went over there. So maybe that's the reason why, because I had UPS on my mind, is why God's using this as an illustration. But I don't go looking for my daughter. I go looking for the truck, and I know what the truck looks like. I don't go to town because I've received packages from the UPS truck before. I don't go to town looking for a big blue truck. Are y'all following me here? Well, when you have prayed and asked Jesus for something and he says, I'm going to send you that something, when he's sending it, he's sending it through the agent on this earth called the Holy Spirit. If you don't recognize the Holy Spirit, then how are you going to receive your package? And if you don't know what to look for, and you don't know what's going on, and you don't know the Holy Spirit, you don't know the workings of the Holy Spirit, and you don't know what is the Holy Spirit and what's not the Holy Spirit, then how in the world would you find your package? Are y'all with me? So unless these men knew how the Holy Spirit moved and what was the moving of the Holy Spirit and what wasn't the moving of the Holy Spirit, then he said they're not going to be of any use to me, because I need some guys that are full of the Holy Spirit, that know the Holy Spirit, that are being able to understand, oh, that's the Holy Ghost. Could walk into a room in a situation with a bunch of weird stuff going on and saying, I don't think that's God at all. Or say, oh man, look what the Holy Ghost is doing. Are y'all with me? You see, even, you know, God bless them, even Pentecostals have gotten into some of the things of the movement of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit may have done once in a meeting or did something over here, whatever, and then called it you know, yeah, doctrine, called it, this is it, and this is the only way it could happen, when that was just something that the Holy Spirit did once there. And then built a whole doctrine and put up a shrine over it, basically, you know, and started burning candles to it and whatever, and just called it, oh, this is it, when the truth of the matter is that was just something that the Holy Ghost did. It's like I heard one time, this is years and years ago, I heard that in some, and it may not even be true, but it was just a point, that a bunch of Bible school students in a foreign country, you know, got all excited about reading about Jesus walking on the water, and so they decided that if Jesus could walk on water, they'd walk on water, and, you know, some of them drowned trying to walk on water. Now, I don't know if that's really a true story, but the point is, if Jesus called you to walk on water and spoke to you and said to walk on water, I believe you could walk on water because he walked on water, and if he walked on water, you can walk on water. But if you're just out there wanting to walk on water because you just want to see if you can walk on water, you're going to drown. That's just stupidity. That's just tempting God. The devil told Jesus at the top of the pinnacle of the temple, said, throw yourself off. He said, he keeps your angels charging you. And Jesus said, man, you're not supposed to tempt the Lord your God. You can't make the Holy Spirit do something just because you want to do it. And you can't fall into a doctrine of saying, well, this is the only way the Holy Ghost is going to move, if the Holy Ghost only moved that way once. But if you're not full of the Holy Spirit, and when I'm saying that, I'm not talking about your level gauge, I'm talking about the knowings of when you can walk in something and say, wow, that is the Spirit of God, or, ooh, that's not the Spirit of God. Then you're not full, or you're not understanding. And you're missing the UPS truck that wants to deliver the package from heaven into your life because you're running around looking for something else when the whole time just stop and pick it up out of the truck. Are you following what I'm saying? We've made it too complicated. We've complicated the whole point. Jesus just said, look, I'm going to be sitting at the right hand of the throne of the Father. And whatever you ask him, I'm going to do. And by the way, you're going to need a helper, and I'm going to send him to you. It's going to be the Holy Spirit, because I don't want you left like orphans. I want you there. So the Holy Spirit's going to be the agent I'm going to send it through. It's the truck moving it to you. But if you don't know where to stop and what to look for, then you're going to miss it. Or if you have no relationship with the Holy Spirit. I always remember Kenneth Hagin used to always say, some people wouldn't know the Holy Ghost. He walked in church wearing a red hat. And that's true. Now, it goes on back to take the bull by the horns, the book, because if you know that, do the first 5 points and you have a relationship with God, you're going to understand and you're going to know if it's God or not. It's going to bear witness on the inside of you if it's God or not. Years ago, I was in a pastor's conference in Mexico, and I was in there and I was standing there worshiping God. It was a great service going on. People, you know, of course, they're a lot more exciting than we are. We're pretty stoic. And so they're up jumping and dancing and whooping and hollering, and, you know, and they believe if you don't work up a good sweat, you never did really praise the Lord. And so, man, they're getting with it. And so the music's playing, everything's going good. And I was just worshiping the Lord in my own way there, enjoying myself, worshiping the Lord. And there's probably, I don't know, 800 people in this room. And all of a sudden, just inside of me, the Holy Ghost said, I need you just to step into the aisle. Well, I thought he was talking about, you know, praising him or whatever. So I stepped in the aisle, and he said, now turn around. And when I turned around, there was a guy walking down the aisle. And I looked at him, and as soon as I looked at this guy, I said, something doesn't seem right about this guy. He looked like he was kind of worshiping. He looked kind of like he was into the service. But as I began to look at him walking down there, I said, there's something wrong with this guy. This guy's not right. And so I said, well, what do you want me to do? And he's pretty large. And so I said, well, what do you want me to do, Lord? And he said, don't let him get to the front. So the guy starts coming up, and I just spoke to him in Spanish and told him to stop. And then when I looked in his face, the one thing I noticed is his nose was almost flat. I mean, it was just almost flat. And it just looked strange. And so I just kind of held my hand up. I didn't touch him, and I said, you know, I said stop. And he said that he wanted to go up front. I said, no, sir. I said, you can't go up front. And so I was looking around for some help from my guys, and everybody was worshiping the Lord. Now ain't nobody paying attention. And I just got this big guy standing right there, this flat nose right in front of me. And so I just knew it was wrong. I just knew it was wrong. Nothing, no sign looked like it should be wrong, but it was wrong. And so finally, I said to him, sir, come on, let's go to the back. I want to talk to you in the back. And so I kind of got him turned around, and I was trying to gently take him out, because I really sensed that he was going to get aggressive if I touched him. And so I didn't want to get aggressive because he was a lot bigger than I was. And I was really praying for God going to give me an angel there. This guy got to whooping on me, you know. And so nobody was paying attention. And so as I began to usher him to the back, finally a couple of the other leaders began to see what was going on, and they got him to the back. And so then we got him outside, and we began to talk to him, and he was mad at God, and went through this whole big deal. And then we began to pray for him and minister to him. We finally got him to serve, to confess Jesus and ask Jesus to come into his life, and God saved him right there, and he baptized him in the Holy Spirit right there, and it was a beautiful thing. So when I was leaving, I was walking back down to my chair. I asked a guy with me, I said, who was that guy? And he said, oh man, I'm so glad he didn't get stirred up. He said, he is in this region of Mexico, he's the number one boxer. I was like, what? I said, I knew his nose was flat, but I never thought about it. It was from boxing. He didn't have any cartilage left in his nose. And I said, oh my God, thank you. This guy didn't just beat me to a pulp right there. But there was no way to know. Everything looked right, but something was wrong. The point I'm saying to you is that if you don't know the Holy Spirit, you don't know the workings of the Holy Spirit, you don't know what God's saying and in taking place, there can be something that looks right, but it can be deadly wrong. Because I don't know what that guy would have done had he got to the front of the altar. Y'all with me? But God diffused it. Okay? So what I'm saying to you is these guys were full of the Holy Spirit for a reason. But then look what happens to them. Therefore, the brethren, he sent out from among them. Okay, da, 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 da. Okay, but verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So the apostles had a job to do, and they're looking for 7 more men to go do this other ministry. So the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and it goes through and lists all the guys' names. And then look what it says. And they set them apart, the apostles, and when they had prayed for them, they laid hands on them. Verse 7, then the word of God, what does it say? So then the word of God starts spreading. The word of God even got more intense. Why? Because these guys were out preaching. These guys were out following the Holy Ghost, doing what God had called them to do. And when they started doing that, well, then all of a sudden it started spreading. It started getting more, and it started building, and it started building, and it started building. Are y'all with me? Now you can read the story, and you can get discouraged about it because you know by the next chapter Stephen gets killed. But I mean, he went to heaven, saw Jesus standing. Only time you can find in the scriptures it says he saw him standing at the right hand of the throne. The only place that every time else it says Jesus was sitting at the right hand of the throne. The only place you can find standing is right there at Stephen's death. I believe Jesus was standing up saying, "Come on." What I'm trying to say here is that how important and just, it's more than important. You know, it's imperative that in this day, in this age, that we can discern quickly what is coming into our life, and is it of God or is it not? Is it the move of the Holy Spirit in our life or not? Is it a battle we're to fight, or are we supposed to sidestep and let it go by? Because I've gotten in trouble in my life fighting some battles that I shouldn't have ever been involved in. And spent a lot of time and emotional energy involved in that thing, fighting those battles, and they never were really what God had assigned me for. They were good things, they were godly things, but they weren't what I was supposed to be involved in, and it wore me out. Hello. And what we've got to do is we've got to be quick to see what God's doing. We've got to be quick by the Holy Ghost to know this is it. And if not, well, then just say, you know, it's not. I'm sorry. It's not what God's got me involved in. Hello. All right. Now I want to show you something. Go to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. I want to show you a remarkable scripture. Matthew chapter 11. What? I pulled my phone out to see what time it was, and Jake had texted me. 1,100 messages listened to on SoundCloud. 1,100. 37,000 visitors to the website. Since when? Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 11. Okay, this is when the disciples are coming to Jesus questioning, is John really sent by God? All right? And so he says, let's pick it up here. So Jesus, verse 4, Jesus answers, said, go tell John the things which you hear and you see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. In other words, he's given us right there in that verses right there, he's given us some identifying marks of God moving. You see what I'm saying? He's given us, so okay, I'll just say this. I'll just throw it out there because I love confrontation anyway. So do you see anywhere in there large church, banks full of money? Do you see anywhere in there seeker sensitive? Do you see anywhere in there that has anything to do with what Jesus said was the identifying marks of? Do you also notice that it says that they had the gospel preached to them? It didn't say people got saved. Because you can be preaching the gospel to people and they not get saved and still be doing the will of God. I don't like that. I don't want that ministry. I want to have the choir sing just as I am and thousands of people come down to the front. I don't want the Ezekiel ministry. I won't even eat Ezekiel bread because I'm scared the Ezekiel ministry might come on me. I eat sprouted grain bread. My wife eats Ezekiel bread, but I ain't eating Ezekiel bread. I refuse to. I'll eat corn tortillas before I eat Ezekiel bread. I don't want any part of the ministry. I don't want the ministry that my head is harder than flint and I preach to everybody and do everything in the world and right at the very top of the ministry, he's already told me ain't nobody ever going to get saved, nobody's ever going to be affected by my ministry. I don't want that one, excuse me. Okay? What I'm saying here is it says, look what happens. Go tell him what you see and hear. The blind are seeing, the lame are, there's restoration. There's restoring taking place. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. So the dead could be souls being saved too. I mean, you know, he meant literal dead there. But I mean, you could say, you know, life is coming into things. Dead things that were dead are coming back to life. Things are being restored. God is into restoration. I want to tell you something else. God's into joy. Show me a church where nobody's happy and I'll show you a church where God is not. Are y'all with me? Because joy is one of the main things. He said, pray so that my joy may be fulfilled in you. You know, John 14. All right? He said, and the gospel is preached. The word of God is going forth, not some candy-coated message, not some, you know, something that's just nice and sweet that doesn't offend anybody, but it's the gospel, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to me, folks. Why right now are people telling us to quit preaching Jesus that we're going to offend Muslims? Because the gospel they don't want preached.
The good news that Jesus is the Savior. Oh, well, nobody wants to hear that if you don't want to believe in Jesus as Savior. If you want to be a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Muslim or whatever, you don't want to believe in Jesus with the gospel, then... So listen to me. If you yield to that and you say, well, listen, I guess let's not offend them, so let's not say anything. Well, then I want to tell you something. Then you're not doing what the Holy Ghost would want to do. You say, but Pastor, someday God's put me into this ministry that, you know what? Okay, then you go do it. And don't drag me down your road. Because I'm not for that. Because I don't believe it's true. But if you do, you go on down it. If it works for you, great. If it doesn't, well, then don't come whining back to me. I told you don't do it. I really feel so sweet and just delivering y'all just a sweet message tonight. And so he says, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Oh, well, wait a minute. Offense is going to come. Okay, so then you can add that to the repertoire of things of seeing if it's really God, if people are getting offended. And that's not offended because you just are ugly or act ugly or your breath smells bad or you just treat people wrong. You know, that's offended because you're standing for the gospel and said, oh, I'm sorry, I believe the word of God's true. I'm not going to get off of it. Well, listen to me. That just offends me. Well, I'm sorry. Then, you know, thank God I'm doing the right thing. All right, you can't just be ugly and nasty and mean and say, well, you shouldn't get offended, brother. Right? Okay, he's talking about in the text of the gospel. So he goes through and says, so as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitude concerning John, what did you go out to see in the wilderness? A reed shaken in the wind? Now you got to understand something. Stop right here before we read on. John, to this point, There's it's no way to prove it, but I've read history about this and read different things about it. They say that John was having meetings like you see in Africa going on with Reinhard Bonnke, that there could have been at least, 2 to 3 million people at his meetings, and that he could have influenced as many as 15 million people. We're not talking about some little podunk guy standing by the river who dunked a few people in the river in the evenings, and he was called John the Baptist. No, we're talking about a guy that had a ministry that was literally earth-shattering, shaking of people coming. I mean, go read the story about John. Who came to him? Soldiers came to him. Said, what do we have to do to be saved? Priests came to him and said, well, what do we have to do to be saved? People of all walks of life came to John. John had influenced so much that he had been... The hierarchy had heard about him. That's what cost him his head. And listen, why did he get his head chopped off? Because the wife of the ruler was mad because he said he shouldn't be married to her because she had been married over here and whatever, and it's some kind of... Right? And John was just preaching the gospel saying, we need to be righteous, live before God. She's like, I don't like that. Get his head off. Are y'all with me? So he says, would you go out to see a reed shaken? But did you go out to see a man clothed in soft garments? John was crazy. He took a camel skin jacket and turned it inside out so that the pokey hairs of the camel skin rubbed on his flesh. That's rough. He ate locusts and wild honey. I mean, I can see the honey. You know? The closest I've ever come to eating locusts would be eating Mupani worms in Africa. And only ate a few of those just to say I had done it. And they had some cream sauce that they were on, and it didn't taste too bad. And if you didn't crunch on it too much, you could swallow it and get it down. All right. And I didn't get no honey with it. So this dude was nuts. This dude was radical. All right. So he goes on and says, but what did you go out to see? A prophet? Verse 9. Yes, I say to you, more than a prophet. For this is he whom it was written, behold, I send my messenger before you in the face who will prepare for you a way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women has not risen on the greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least, listen to, He says, from this point, everybody that was born of a woman. So we're talking David, Samson, Noah, Moses. Am I right? It's in red here too. Jesus said it. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist. So he's putting him over Abraham. He's putting him over Isaac, putting him over Jacob. Said, John the Baptist, the dude rocks. But he, listen, he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Woo. He said, John the Baptist is the greatest man that ever walked on the face of the earth. This is what Jesus said. Better than Solomon. Better than I mean, just think about it. All the great ones. Better than Ezekiel. Better than Isaiah. John the Baptist was greater. But the first person filled with the Spirit and walking on the face of the earth as the temple of the living God with his sins washed away, that new creation is the least one, the first one in. Let's just say least, meaning the first one in. The first one in is greater than John the Baptist. That's you, folks. That is you he's talking about. He's putting you in the category, saying John the Baptist is the greatest man that ever walked on the earth, but if you're baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, saved, born again, and you're a vessel of the Spirit of God, and you know the workings of God, you're full of the Holy Spirit, know the workings of what's going on, you're greater than John the Baptist. So Jesus puts a lot of stock in this new creation called you. When I read that, I was just like, what? What? It blows my mind. I'm just like, wow, the way God looks at you. His born again, Spirit-led people. That's amazing. It makes me step back and go, wow, God, that's almost scary. That's scary stuff, Lord. Because if John the Baptist was to walk in here, I would be bowing down. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't really mean bowing down, but I'm just saying I'd have high respect for him. Isaiah walks in here? Huh? Who says, I know the Lord who can measure the heavens with the span of his hand. The nations are but a drip and a bucket. I'm like, you think I'm ahead of that guy? You see what I'm saying? Even crazy Samson, he catches, what was it, 1,000 foxes and ties their tails together? Was it 1,000? It was 1,000, wasn't it? It was a bunch of them. I'm just amazed he could catch the foxes and then he could tie their tails together and he didn't have zip ties or anything. Right? Gideon. And he's saying, he has more, God has more hope and sees more potential in you than those guys. Are y'all with me? Isn't that what it's saying? I'm just preaching out of the Bible. This ain't the Reader's Digest or some theological book. I'm just reading you what the Scripture says with the illumination of the light of the Holy Ghost on it. That's what he says. You're greater than they were. So, folks, this is what I'm saying. If that's what God thinks about you, then that's what we need to think about ourselves.
If that's what God is saying to you, then it's time for us to start learning the workings of God, to start learning the workings of the Holy Ghost, so to know when it's the Holy Ghost delivering our package. It's time for us to start saying, listen, I don't know if God speaks to me or not. I had a person who doesn't go to this church, attends another church, call me up and say, listen, man, I got a big decision I got to make, and I really need to know if I'm hearing God or not, so can you help me? And I wanted to laugh and say, well, go talk to your own pastor. Call me up. Go talk to him. If you're not learning that in your own church, then why are you calling me? But I love the person, so I spent time with him and helped him. But I'm just saying that was the first thought I had. You know, maybe that's a bad thought, but that was the first thought I had. Why isn't your own pastor teaching it? So I know tonight, and I just want to pray for you. I just know tonight that some of y'all have some packages that need to be delivered. All right? Some of you need physical healing. You have a package that needs to be delivered. Some of you have questions and that you need answered, and you need that package delivered. Some of you are you know, in different places and different things and going on in life, and you have packages that need to be delivered to you. And I'm telling you, you've got to know the Holy Ghost. You've got to hear from the Spirit of God what he's saying to you. And that's going to require you to dig and find it. It's going to require you to spend time in the Word to hear what God's saying to you. Exciting news is you got a package. That's the good news. You got a package. And it's going to be a good one. Amen? Okay, so stand up. Lord, just come play just a little Holy Ghost music. Just whatever the Holy Ghost says. And I want you just to get your expectorant. I want you to just, right now I'm going to pray for you. So some of you, you could receive your package right now tonight as I pray this prayer. So just, it's up to you to reach out and grab it. So Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I pray for each and every person here. Lord, people have packages of healing, packages of restoration, packages of life that needs to be delivered to them. And so I just declare right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that, Lord, you open up their hearts, you open up their eyes right now, and the package gets delivered to them. I declare tonight, right now, package of direction is being delivered. I declare tonight, right now, that a package of healing is being delivered. A package that has healing in it to heal a broken heart is being delivered right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we receive those packages. Holy Ghost, thank you for bringing them to us. Thank you for bringing them to us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now everybody just say this with me. Just say, Holy Ghost, thank you for bringing me my package. Come on, just say it to him again and say, Holy Ghost, thank you for bringing me my package. Lord, we just receive it this night. In Jesus' mighty name. Now look at that person and say to him, you got a delivery. Amen. Look at the person around you and say, man, that's good. I'm glad I got my delivery. Say, the mail store is full. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God.